Good morning. It is 8:17 on WMAL, where Washington comes to talk. Joining us right now, the man that everyone is talking about, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, former deputy assistant to U.S. President Donald Trump. Dr. Gorka, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning.
My pleasure. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. A statement came out of the White House claiming that you did not resign. Why that discrepancy?
Yeah, it's very disappointing, especially since it turned out, if you read Breitbart, that got access to the original email, the low-level individual that sent out that anonymous email actually lied about her position and represented herself as a senior official when she isn't. Look, we expect that from the left, not from inside the People's House. It's just another indication of the reality inside the building and why I decided to do what I did on Friday and serve the president from outside the White House. So the fact is I emailed former Secretary, now Chief of Staff, Kelly, earlier in the week after the president's Afghan speech. I requested an appointment with him today after my vacation ended. On Friday, we spoke on the phone, and I told him of my intent to resign at that meeting effective last Friday, and then I reiterated that in an email. So that's the reality of the matter when people who don't share the president's vision wish to undermine the reality of what's going on. That's just par for the course.
Dr. Gorka, I want to explore the reality in the White House. On John Kelly, do you think that John Kelly is an ideological man?
I haven't had any indication of that. The reality is what he's doing right now is what anyone who knows General Kelly should expect. He is creating a new system focused on efficiency. He's doing it as a military professional would do. The question is, does his style comport with what the president expects of the chief of staff? I haven't seen an ideological flavor to his pronouncements, to his behavior. I think right now he's acting as a military professional.
Right, but as he kind of gets reins in control in the White House and sort of brings order to it, the effect has been that people like yourself and Steve Bannon have left the White House. The people with the more of a populist interest, or as you've said, the Make America Great Again crowd. What do you make of that and the fact that this separation is happening and you and others have left the White House as a result?
Yeah, I don't think the connection should be made. So the recent departure of myself or Steve should not be connected to the arrival of Chief of Staff Kelly, because this started long. The negative events we're seeing with regards to key personnel started long before General Kelly arrived. So with key individuals who are associated with the Trump agenda, with a hardcore stance on radical Islam and the pro-Israel individuals, they were actually fired from the NSC long before the general arrived. So the boxing out of the real MAGA individuals, the Make America Great Again individuals, is something that's been going on for months and is disturbing, and that's at the heart of why Steve and myself have decided to do what we've done.
And my question on that is, well, then why would the president sit back and allow this to happen?
Yeah, look, you've got to remember that the president is one man, and he's at the head of a massive bureaucracy. When we moved in, the NSC alone under Obama had bloated to 420 individuals. He's not there to get into the minutiae of human resources, who's getting hired, who's getting fired. That would be insanity. He's got enough on his plate with, you know, from North Korea to ISIS to the economy to the hurricane. So, the fact is there are mechanisms in place that run a bureaucratic machine. The levers are now being held by people who really weren't associated with the campaign or the original message. And that's another part of, you know, the reality in what is the Washington swamp.
That bureaucracy seems to have gone in the president's way. We saw a report over the weekend from Axios that the president says, get me tariffs, and yet none of his staff seem to be bringing him tariffs. They keep talking about other things, intellectual property concerns with China, but not bringing him the things he wants. Is that a part of this?
It's disconcerting. I had a phone call with one of my colleagues in the White House yesterday, one of the people really committed to the vision of November the 8th. And he was thinking about his future and who he needs to stand tall with inside the building. And in the span of a 60-minute, you know, discussion, we realized there's four senior individuals left, or relatively senior individuals left in the building, who are really hardcore Make America Great Again believers. Four people left. So there is this great quote from Tucker Carlson, who said, "Whatever you think about Steve Bannon, he would not have been at home in a Hillary Clinton White House." Well, that's definitely true. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the building who not only would have been at home in a Hillary Clinton White House, who probably would have had cabinet positions in a Hillary Clinton White House. That's the great irony of what's going on. But the bottom line is, the president reached out to me. He said he's not going to give up his agenda, and we're going to support him on the outside, because that agenda is what is key to getting us back to where we
need to. I want to ask you one more thing. Rex Tillerson saying this weekend that you're concerned that radical Islam or radical Islamic terrorism was not mentioned in the Afghanistan speech. He said that's completely wrong. Quote, "It shows a lack of understanding of the president's broader policy when it comes to protecting Americans at home and abroad from all acts of terrorism."
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused by that statement from the Secretary of State, because it kind of, the logic train there is that Afghanistan is important because of all forms of terrorism. I'm not sure there's a lot of eco-terrorists or white supremacist terrorists running around the hills of the Hindu Kush or in Tora Bora. So, you know, I'd like to hear more from Secretary Tillerson, because the president was you know, he never backed down until that speech in Afghanistan. Look at his address to Congress. Look at the Riyadh speech. He has been clear through the campaign and after January 20th, the threat to America is from radical Islamic terrorism. There's no event like Orlando in the last 20 years. There's no event like 9/11 that's coming from other terrorist threats. So I'd like the Secretary to clarify that, because it really didn't make much sense.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka may not be a part of the White House now, but certainly grateful to have you here, and I look forward to having you back again soon. Your analysis is always welcome here.
Thanks, Vince. Anytime. My pleasure.